church that is a tremendous cross-section of society. We have all kinds of people who are here. I mean from every imaginable social class, from every imaginable educational background, everything from, young girl, sit up on the front row. Hey, you hear what I've got to say this morning? Yeah, you, listen to me, look at me. From a poor, underprivileged bus child on welfare to people who have some means, I recall, and you've heard me say this, but it so pictures our church. A lovely couple sitting back here on this side of the building one Sunday morning, friend of our church, wonderful people. People of some means and certainly some refinement. Right in front of them were sitting right over here, two ladies, each of whom had on mink coats. Mink coats. Not stoles. Coats. Bound up in our ladies. All of our ladies that can afford a mink coat have sold it and put it in the building program. But right across the aisle, right over here, was a little Spanish-speaking boy who had a hole in his britches. And he was embarrassed about the hole. He was trying to cover up that hole with his hand. I'm not sure where his hand was, on the back or the front, or where it was, but he was trying to cover up the hole. And this couple, the man began to weep, and he looked to his wife and said, "Honey, if you'll look, you'll see a picture of First Baptist Church of Hammond." And she said, "What?" And he said, "Look right in front of us. There are two ladies who have on mink coats. And right across the aisle, a little Spanish-speaking boy who has a hole in his trousers trying to conceal it." And he said with quivering lips, "That's a picture of First Baptist Church Hammond." He said, "You know, honey, I'm convinced and these were visitors, I'm convinced," this visitor said, "that that little Spanish-speaking boy with a hole in his trousers is just as welcome in this church as those two ladies in mink coats." He was right. He was right. No more welcome, but just as welcome. We do, however, have in our church numbers of businessmen. There has been a trend lately. Five businessmen in our church have been to talk to me lately about the same subject. Really, it's quite startling. But the same subject has been the matter of their conversation. And this is it. "Pastor, what can I do when the crash comes? What can I do when the crash comes?" There have been numbers of books written in the last few months. I've read one of them and part of another about the inevitable crash, financial crash, to which we're headed. And brother, we're headed there. I mean, you just can't keep on prices going up and up and up and up and up without something happening sooner or later. Amen. Now, these men have asked this question, "Pastor, could you advise me about some things I could do to prepare myself for the crash?" My thoughts were directed to Habakkuk. For Habakkuk lived in a time very much like the time in which we live. Habakkuk, by the way, not one single thing is known about Habakkuk as far as I know, except that he was a musician and played some stringed instruments. His name means embracing, or better still, wrestling. The same kind of word that was used about Jacob when he wrestled with God all night. Which means Habakkuk probably was one who wrestled with God or embraced God and was a wonderful, wonderful Christian. There was a man named Habakkuk who, according to the Apocrypha, carried food to Daniel while he was in the lion's den. I'm not sure that this is a true story, and if it is a true story, I'm not sure that it was the Habakkuk who wrote this book. They also have a tradition that says that Habakkuk was the son of the Shunammite woman. You recall the Shunammite woman came to Elisha, and Elisha restored life to her son. He was dead. Elisha breathed on him. The child sneezed and came back to life. There is a tradition that says, that or legend that says, that that young man was the Habakkuk who wrote this book. I do not know this is true. The only thing I know about him for sure is that he wrote this book and that he was a musician, because it speaks in the last verse of Habakkuk about his playing of the stringed instruments. Now Habakkuk, this prophet, looked down in the future, and through his prophetic telescope, he saw three things. He saw no fruit. He said in the Bible, "The fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines." He saw a time when the child couldn't get an apple from off the table, or ask mother for a banana, or have an orange to eat. And God knows we need to trade a bunch of the junk we eat today for some old-fashioned fruit. I mean, this ice cream, candy, ice cream eating, candy eating, Frito eating, bugle eating, pizza eating generation of sick people are making doctors rich. We wouldn't have to do it, but learn to eat what God told us to eat. Now, you can laugh at that, the snicker, all you want to, but a lot of you folks, you'd spend a lot more money on fruit and less money on doctor bills if you would eat right. The only fellow who eats right says amen. And he weighs 340 pounds. But Habakkuk looked down and saw a time when there'd be no fruit. When the fruit tree bare. You see, the Chaldeans, who were going to be the conquerors of Israel, did as the Assyrians and Egyptians did when they conquered a territory. They cut down all the fruit trees. That was one way they'd paralyze the territory. So Habakkuk down, he saw no fruit. The fruit trees barren and cut down. But he saw something else. He saw no vegetables. He says, "The fields shall yield no meat." What he really said was, "The corn fields," or the fields of corn, "shall yield no meat." What did he mean? No vegetables, no corn, no tomatoes, no potatoes, no greens, no beans, no squash. No black-eyed peas. That's really a bad time. No lettuce. No cucumbers. No onions. He looked down and said, "I see a time coming soon through my prophetic telescope when fruit will not be plenteous. When vegetables will not be available." But he said something else. He said, "I saw no meat, no herd in the stable." Is this speaker on up here? Fellow, something's wrong. This speaker's not on up here. I knew something was wrong this morning. Can you turn this speaker on, please? I kept feeling not at home, and I thought I'd ask the choir. Is it on now? Good. Okay, fine. A little knob up there says on and off. If you'll check it, I think you'll find the problem. You know, I prepared this sermon, and I've been looking forward to hearing it. And so far, I haven't heard a word I've preached. Would you tell me, is it good so far?
Yes.
Thank you very much. All right. And all of that, of all the sinners we have in this church, the biggest sinners are in the choir. And if anybody needs the sermon, it's the choir. So Habakkuk said, "I see in the future, a time in the near future, where there will be no fruit, no vegetables, no meat. I see famine. I see a financial crash." Now I wonder, what will Habakkuk do in that time? Listen to what he says. The next verse says, "I will rejoice in the Lord." By the way, what that really means is this: I will rejoice in God my Savior. Or the Vulgate puts it this way: I will rejoice in my Jesus God. I will rejoice in my Jesus God. Now, actually he says this. He says, when the food business is gone, when I have no vegetables to eat, when I have no fruit on my table, when I have no meat in my freezer,
When my plate is empty and the crash has come, he said, I am going to rejoice. Rejoice in famine? Rejoice with nothing to eat? Rejoice with no wood with which to build houses? Rejoice when you can't buy furniture? Rejoice when you're hungry? Rejoice when troubles come? Rejoice when wartime comes? Rejoice when you're slaves? Rejoice when you're captives? He said, yes, yes. He said, when the crash comes, I'll rejoice. Rejoice in what? Rejoice in my Jesus God. What he really says is, I will joy. And I can go a step further and say, what he really says is, I will shout. I will shout in that time. I can go a step further. I will give loud cries of rejoicing. Or I will give an exultant outward expression of my joy. If you want rid of the word, you can take the word that is used up in the early part of the chapter. It's spelled S-H-I-G-I-O-N-O-T-H, Shigonoth. And what that word means is, I will wildly rejoice. He says, I will say, praise the Lord. I will shout, hallelujah. Yeah, I will rejoice with enthusiasm and vigor. Why? Why? Because of the Jesus God. I, in these days, as your pastor, in the last year especially, in 6 months especially, with all the troubles we face in America, with the Watergate, with the prices going beyond reason, with the shortages, in our building, for example, we see just a touch of all the shortages. And the prime rate has gone as high as 11%, and maybe higher, I'm not sure. I know it's gone as high as 11%. Money that we are borrowing. Well, I can recall when I paid 4% interest on a house. 4% interest. And now you're fortunate if you get 8.75%. And normally on a house, it's 9%. You go down to borrow some money at the bank, 10% interest if you try to borrow some money often at the bank. Now, what's going to happen? We're going to have a crisis. What's going to happen? We're going to have a crash. The world always goes that way. It goes from prosperity to sin and then back to punishment from God and a depression and a time of a financial crash. We're going to have it. You say, when? I don't know. You say, what you going to do? I'm going to keep on praising God. I'm going to keep on. That's what Habakkuk said, I see a time when I'll have no fruit in the refrigerator. I see a time when I'll have no vegetables on the table. I see a time when I'll have no meat in the freezer. I see a time when my plate will be empty. But he said, thank God, there's one thing they can't take away from me, and that's my Jesus God. That's what he said. I'll wildly, exuberantly shout. I'll rejoice. I'll say, hallelujah. For my Jesus God. Now, why? Why could Habakkuk be this way? You say, preacher, do you mean that? Preacher, how much do you have laid aside for a rainy day? One drop of water drowned me out. One sprinkle and I'm gone. You say, preacher, how much do you have in your savings account? I'm doing good to save enough to pay for the checks, 8 cents apiece. You say, aren't you worried? Honestly. Scout's honor, on the Bible, I have not one fret nor worry in this world about the future. Well, you say you must be a fool. Yet fools are happier than you intelligent people too, by the way. You nervous people. One fellow said not long ago, I said, I'm down to $159,000 net worth. Man, you could take all of our staff, all the school teachers, all the college students and all the deacons and shake us, and we wouldn't be worth $159,000. Now, if you are, brother, we need it. But you say, Brother Hines, why don't you worry? I'll tell you why. I never have been happy because of what I eat. I just as soon have red beans as a T-bone steak. Honestly. I just as soon sop gravy with biscuits and thickened gravy as eat a prime rib of, I think I would. I haven't eaten a prime rib in a great deal of time. But prime rib. I mean, to me, my joy doesn't come by what goes through this hole right here. Or it doesn't come because of a certain delicacy. It doesn't come because of food. Well, man, listen, the happiest days of my life, I lived on cornbread and buttermilk. You did too, didn't you? See me after service. I'll make you a deacon here. Of course. Listen, the happiest nation, happiest days this nation ever had was back during the last depression. Oh, you say, preacher, I don't believe it.
Well, you weren't alive then.
We believed in God. We went to church. We had some decency. We had some morals. We had some principles. We knew we had to pray or die. And so the Habakkuk looks down the future and he says, the fruit will be gone and the vegetables will be gone and the meat will be gone. Habakkuk, what are you going to do? I'm going to shout. That's what he said. I'm going to shout. I'm going to thank God for my Jesus God. I never have. I mean this now, honestly. I never have made my happiness on what kind of car I drive. The truth is, sometimes I forget what kind of car I do drive. Doesn't make any difference to me.
Amen.
By the way, it doesn't make any difference to me what kind of car you drive either. But no difference to me at all. None at all. We may have to take live to the nursery before the service is over. What I'm trying to say, if you'll let me, I'm trying to say that if you make your happiness from externalities, then you're headed for some rough days. If you're not happy when you don't have much to eat, you're headed for some rough days. If you can't look at your billfold and shake it and nothing comes out and still be happy, you're in for some rough days. If you cannot go to your cupboard and see it bare and believe that God will provide your need, you're headed for some rough days. But if you believe there's a God in heaven who can take care of His people, you're headed for the best days of your life. I mean, the crash gives God a chance to prove Himself. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. Then He'll give God a chance. Habakkuk said, I will rejoice. I will get wildly happy. I will shout the praises of God when the time comes. Now, there are three shouts he made. The first one he shout was, I will rejoice or shout in God my Jesus, my strength. In God my Jesus, or in my Jesus God, who is my strength. And by the way, there are many, many writers who seem to think there's no verb in that statement. And that it's just an exultant shout, Jesus, my God, my strength, without a verb. There are those who think that he was so happy at even the possibility. It doesn't matter what the future holds. He said, okay, if I wear rags or if I wear silk and satin, okay, it doesn't matter. Okay, if I have meat to eat or have no meat, okay. If the vegetables are coming off the field and on my plate, okay. Or if they're not, okay, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. He said, my joy does not come from what I eat. My joy does not come from what I wear. My joy does not come from where I live. My joy does not come from what I drive. My joy does not come from my money. My joy comes from He who lives on the inside. No, you people do not have to fret this morning. You don't have to worry and stew about the future. Say with Habakkuk, that which is in my heart, they cannot take away. They cannot take away today a recession, a crash, cannot take away Christ in the hope of glory who lives in my heart. The crash cannot take away the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. The crash cannot take away the fact that my name is written in heaven. And isn't that what Jesus said? He said, don't rejoice because the demons are subject to you. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You know, and you people that are about to crack up and about to have your nervous breakdowns. And one of our students went off to college one time and he came to my office and tears in his eyes. He said, I've got a burden. And I said, what is your burden? He said, would you pray for me? He said, I know God will supply my need, but I'm going to go to college. He wasn't even married. I'm going to go to college. And he said, don't have enough money. But he said, God's able. He said, you used to be poor in your mother's house. I said, yes, sir. About 5 minutes ago I was. And he said, yeah, well, Brother House, pray for me. And I said, I'm sorry. And I reached in a billfold to try to give him $1.98 or so, whatever I had. And I said, how much do you have? And he said, I only have $7,000 and I've got to go to school on it. I said, if you won't live by faith, you fork over that $7,000. You can really live by faith then. Oh, my soul in heaven. Where's God? Where's God? Where's God? You say, preacher, what do we eat? Where's God? You say, what will I wear? Where's God? You say, where will I live? Where's God? You say, where will I get a job? Where's God? You say, preacher, how will I make it? Where's God? You say, how will I take care of my family? Where's God? Let me tell you something. There's a God in heaven. Maybe inside this pulpit. There's a God in heaven. and God loves his own, and he owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and God knows where you live, and God knows your needs, and that God gave you a promise. My God shall, not maybe, shall, not maybe so, shall, not a hope so, shall provide all, not part, all, not some, all your needs by his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You don't have to fret. You don't have to stew. You don't have to worry. And so Habakkuk said, I see a time coming when the fruit trees shall be barren. I see a time coming when the vegetables, the fields shall have no vegetables. I see a time coming when the stalls shall have no animals and the flocks of the, flocks. I see a time coming when we have no meat or no vegetables or no fruit and the crash will come. But he said, I'll rejoice because of my Jesus God. The second thing he said, I'll rejoice because of the Word of God. He immediately quoted a psalm, Psalm 18:33. The first thing he did was to quote Psalm 18:33. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk on high places. Now, what's he saying? He's saying that when the crash comes, they can take away everything. They can take away my car. They can take away my house. They can take away my money. They can take away my food. But they can't take away my Jesus God, and they can't take away the Word of God. I mean, brother, they can't take away the Bible. In other words, no matter what comes, I'll have the book. You say, preacher, why do they burn all the Bibles? Listen, there's enough folks in this room this morning to put the Bible back together that they burned them all. Did you know in the Vietnam prison camps, North Vietnam prison camps, I was talking to this Captain Borling, was it Borling? Who was in 7 or 8 years in the prison camp, who came to our pastor school this in 1973 as our guest. Did you know that he said that when they were in North Vietnam prisoner of war camps, suffering so much, they took away all their Bibles. And he said the soldiers in those camps got together and put the Bible back together from their memories. Yeah. I mean, they may take it off our desk. It may close the doors of the church and take our Bibles, but they can't take the Word of God away. I mean, the Word of God abideth forever, not one jot nor one tittle. Now listen to me. If you could somehow get your peace and your happiness from within, from what you get in the Word of God and from the presence of Christ, our Jesus Savior, then you won't have to fret or worry about what happens. Our young folks, some of them come and they're worried about the future. And some of our middle-aged people worried about facing the senior years of life and what's going to happen. And our businessmen, as I said, are worried. But Habakkuk looked down toward the future and he said, I see a time with no fruit. I see a time with no vegetables. I see a time with no meat. He said, I see a time when the crash is going to come. But he said, I'll rejoice. I'll shout. I'll say glory to God. What? For my Jesus God. What else? For the blessed Word of God. But then he talks about walking in high places. We shall walk in high places. And the next line says something about playing on the stringed instruments. What's he talking about? The house of God. House of God. Did you know, Brother Fisk, if the crash comes, shall I say when it comes, and if you've lost your job, and the banks have crumbled, and that tin can you got buried out in the backyard full of money, he has been gone, has been taken. By the way, I would have gotten it for the college fund if it's gone. But if you look in the cupboard and find no food, come down here at 10:35 on Sunday morning, you'll see the choir walk through that door. We'll still have church. We'll still have church. And after the choir walks in, you'll see me walk in, a bit thinner than before, but I'll walk in. And we're not going to sing, how tedious and tasteless the hours. We're going to sing again, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. We're going to sing, there's a name I love to hear, I love to sing its word. And you'll get to say, I'm so tired of seeing Brother Fisk in that same old suit. It's not the same old suit that bothers me, it's the same old face that bothers me all the time. But... And the choir won't look quite. They'll have their Easter outfits on. I mean, that's Easter 10 years ago. And we may not have much offering, but they can't take away what we have in here, and they can't take this away. And we'll go ahead and praise the Lord. And It may be that instead of having eggs and bacon, that's beef bacon, of course. It may be instead of having eggs and beef bacon for breakfast, it may be you'll have some grits.
like the southern fella came up north for the first time and it was snow all over the ground. He said, "Good night, grits everywhere I look."
And it may be you had grits for breakfast instead of bacon and beef bacon and eggs. It may be. And it may be that you won't have much money, and it may be you have to, and by the way, it may be in those days we'll come to church and not sleep through the sermon. We'll have to get God. We'll have to trust God. We'll have to beg God for help. We'll have to cry to God, and it may be God will like our services more then than it does now.
And so Habakkuk says, folks, we have some rough times ahead. He said, "I see a time through my prophetic telescope and the fruit trees will not bear and many of them be cut down by the enemy. I see fields. Oh, I don't see any growth. I see corn stalks without corn. I see bean stalks without beans. I see a time when the potatoes will not grow and tomatoes will not be on the vine. I see a time when the fig tree is barren. I see a time when the olive tree, the olive branch does not give forth olives. I see a time of famine. I see a time of trouble. I see a time of the crash." Well, Habakkuk, what should we do when it comes? Rejoice in Jesus God. Rejoice in the blessed Word of God. And rejoice that there'll be a church, a house of God where you can come. And he said, keep on playing on your stringed instruments. Keep on shouting and keep on singing. For that which is the root of all happiness and joy and peace cannot be taken away.
Amen.
I look around this building this morning. I see a lot of heavy hearts. I looked around a while ago and I saw a young girl in her teen years. One of the sweetest, most precious young girls you'll ever see, who looked in her mother's face in the last 2 weeks. Her mother left the family, has not been back home for 6 months. In the last 2 weeks, that girl went to see her mother hundreds of miles away and saw her mother look in her face and tell her she didn't want her. She's sitting in these pews this morning. I could go on and on and on and on. A lot of heavy hearts. Folks, if all the things I've taught you in these 15 years, if you could remember one of them, it'd change your life and give you peace and happiness forever. Don't let your happiness be determined by circumstances. Don't. If I eat red beans, I have a pot of beans and a little cornbread, or if I eat a filet mignon with a baked potato with a strawberry shortcake, they still make those. I haven't seen one in so long. I looked at one the other day and gained 5 pounds. I was in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, and Dr. John Rice and I were eating, and this gal came in and she waddled in. It was slacks on. You know, if I wore slacks, if I were a female and wore slacks, if I weighed 350, I'd wear something else. She came waddling in and she squeezed in a booth and she made her order. That gal brought her back a strawberry shortcake that was about a foot and a half tall. And I said, "Dr. Rice is behind him over here." I said, "Dr. Rice, look at there." He went. I said, "Did you ever see anything like that in your life?" It doesn't matter. You know, that's what made the patriarchs and the prophets and the martyrs happy. If you don't have anything
If not a single thing on which hinges your happiness can be taken away by your enemies, you can't be hurt. You can't be hurt. I got folks all over America shooting at me. But there's not a single thing that they can take away from me that makes me happy. It's in here. My sins are forgiven. Rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. Every sin had to go beneath the crimson flow. My sins are forgiven. My name's written in heaven. Go up there. Look up there under the H's. At the end of the H's, you'll find H-Y-L-E-S, Jack Frasier, F-R-A-S-U-R-E, Hiles. Right above, Coastal Matty. It's there. My name is there. I mean, you can't... Russia, Red China, Supreme Court can rule at meeting session and say Hiles' name should not be in the Lamb's Book of Life. And they can rule by 7-1 with one abstention that my name should not be in the Book of Life, but it'll still be there. It'll still be there. So... Well, they say, but they can, Supreme Court can say, well, your church is bigoted church, and you're against the revolutionaries and against the dirty hippie crowd, and you're against the left wing. Yeah, we're against all those things. And so, consequently, your tithe money will not be deductible from your income tax. Well, okay. If you still look up there, it says under H's, you'll find H-Y-L-E-S. But you say, well, what they can do, they can come in here and get you and put you in a straitjacket. They may have to if we don't raise some more money. And put you in a straitjacket and take you off and they can put you in jail. I know it. But if you look carefully, it's still up there, H-Y-L-E-S. Amen. See? So you can't touch a fella whose happiness is right here. Now, if you'll ever learn that, it'll call it, you can sleep at night. It'll keep you from fretting a great deal. And you can say with Habakkuk, when the fruit is gone and the trees are barren and the herd lies dead in the field for lack of food and the banks have closed and the recession or depression is here, you can say with Habakkuk, praise the Lord. Hallelujah! With a wild, exuberant shout. They cannot take away my Jesus God. They cannot take away the Word of God. And they cannot take away the house of God. Would you bow your heads, please?